Good afternoon. If I would look for an object to describe my life prior to becoming a believer, it's definitely a roller coaster. My early years memory is filled with the weight of my sister having brain cancer, the emotional stress and financial havoc that a decade-long crisis brought to our family took its toll. My dad had become severely alcoholic, and we often got into verbal arguments. This effusive battery from my dad made me drift away from my family. That is why in college, I spent most of my time at school. I joined a fraternity and was exposed to the impurities of a carefree environment. It was here I discovered the violent and cruel world of men through different rumbles, bar fights, and machismo activities. When I started working, my earthly desires and way of life took a turn for the worse. My typical weekday would be routinely going home around 2 a.m. after going out to bars and gimmick places. Weekends would be different, as I would never go home earlier than 5 a.m. and partied till I was dead drunk. This menage of immoralities was characterized by sex, experimentation with drugs, shabu, marijuana, mugs, and the likes. All of these evil things were a part of my life, and I thought it was normal and okay. My girlfriend at that time left for Switzerland to study, and I was left behind with the promise that when she gets back, we will get married. Due to my loneliness when she left, I adhered to the invitation of some of my batchmates in my fraternity to attend a Bible study here in CCF. I started to attend Bible study as it was a temporary respite from my sadness, but I remained stagnant in my growth. No matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't turn away from my sinful ways. I got the break of my professional career when I was tasked to lead the brand department of a multinational company. I was on top of the world. At this point, I thought I had everything. I had a great job. I had friends. I had material things. I partied and I gimmicked. A girlfriend that will marry me when she comes back. But that was my plan, and it was all set. But we all know that God's plan is nothing compared to the plan our... We don't know that man's plan is nothing compared to the plan our loving Father had laid out for us. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Just like a master gardener pruning the plant, cutting away dead branches, and plucking out withered leaves, Jesus, our vine dresser, went work to my life. And boy, did they come in bundles. My first wake-up call happened when my dad developed cancer of the nose. After that, I got news from my girlfriend that she's no longer coming back to the Philippines, and she was breaking off our relationship and our marriage plans. A couple of months after, one Wednesday after attending Bible study here in CCF, I went to a nearby restaurant to eat dinner with some of my friends. But when I went home, I found out that my car was stolen with several personal possessions. After a year, some scheming individuals at my company enacted a plot to get me out of my position by falsifying checks that I supposedly received as kickbacks. I was cleared after months of investigation, but the stigma of being implicated in such a charge affected on how others view me at work. So my dad had cancer. I lost the love of my life. I lost the material possession I cherished most, and I almost lost my job. At this point, I said I wanted to change my life and to know more about the Lord. Again, as part of His grand plan, God introduced me to Pastor J.P. Masakayan. I attended Pastor J.P. Masakayan's Bible study classes with vigor and a contrite heart. And as I come to know Christ at the Urdaneta D Group, I started to change my ways. Suddenly, my passion in going out to bars and gimmick places left me. My friends and office mates were shocked. The party boy is now a homeboy. So I spent more quality time with my parents. I became more generous and more loving to them. I stopped getting drunk. I quit smoking, stayed clean from any form of drugs, and I've stopped my emotional outbursts and cursing. I was also able to invite both my parents to join me in CCF. But the faith-stretching situation continued. Christmas Day, a couple of years ago, my mom suffered a stroke. Similarly, a few days after, my dad suffered a stroke. So both of them were in the hospital for one whole month. For a couple of weeks, both of my parents were in the hospital, and after that, soon over, more pruning followed. A few years ago, I was stripped of my departmental head in my company. They took away my corner office, and they gave me a desk. This exercise in humility also paved the way for me to refocus my time. It allowed me the privilege of being active in numerous activities and ministries such as church, blessed me with the opportunity of teaching God's Word, and has allowed me to have more time for my D12 and for my D group. As I grow in Christ, the Holy Spirit burdens me to give more of my time, my talent, and my finances for His kingdom. The building fund is one of those areas that I have been praying for. God has impressed upon me a number that I was going to commit, but never for some time got over the hump of pledging it. Until one day, while I was having breakfast with my mom, she shared with me that she committed a 5-digit pledge for the building fund that she plans to give in 1 year. I was floored. My 65-year-old mom, who has no income, no job, no savings, and by faith, pledging that amount. So the day after, I gave my 6-digit pledge payable in 2 years by faith. A couple of weeks after, my D12 colleague invited me to invest in the stock market. I invested with the promise that with whatever amount it may possibly earn, I'm giving it back to the building fund. By God's amazing power and grace, and trust me, I'm no expert in stock market, the stock I bought went off the roof in 2 months. The 2-year pledge, God gave it and provided in 2 months. And there was a bonus. The amount I pledged, He doubled it in my earnings in that investment. So meron pa pong take home. I said to myself, with God prodding me, I wanted to give more. So last year, during the Ad Congress in Subic, I won $50,000 in a game sponsored by GMA7. But my company said that there might be some compliance issue since my work entails me to approve media budgets for the said corporation. They wanted me to return the 50,000 pesos. So I told GMA7 about my company's decision, and they were surprised. They said their accounting books for the event are already closed. So I was in a dilemma. My company wanted me to return the money. The sponsored corporation did not want to receive it back. So I said, why not just give it to CCF as a contribution to the building fund project? And praise God, both companies said yes. It's been an honor, a privilege, and to serve and to give. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I ask for your prayers that I would continue to burn the passion of serving and to put Jesus in the forefront of everything in my life. My name is Ikoy De Leon. I'm big for God, and to God be all the glory.
Praise God for Ikoy sharing. Good afternoon. Will you greet one another and say, good afternoon. Welcome to CCF. If you are our guest, we have a special room for you. You need counseling, you need coffee. It's right where I'm pointing. Today, before we continue our series, I want us to all stand up and pray for Ikoy. Let's pray for our building project. It's amazing how God blessed Ikoy with the stock market. In my case, I lost lots of money in the stock market. But nevertheless, God enabled us to keep giving to the building fund. Is God amazing? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the provisions. We thank you for the testimony of our brother Ikoy. I pray for his future. I pray for his company. And I pray for his testimony that you will guard him and use him mightily in the years to come. We pray for the Eastwood new church that we will start. I pray that many lives will be touched. And I pray that the gospel will be presented clearly in Eastwood City. That it will not be a church transplant, but it will be a church plant. Give us new people. Give us new people that will come to know you. And we pray for our country. We pray for the president that you continue to use her, continue to give her wisdom. We pray for our politicians. We pray for our government leaders, the local government. Father, only you can clean up the corruption. Only you can transform this country. So in humility, we ask you to change this country for the better. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you that the financial crisis is not as bad. Thank you that the swine flu did not hit this country as bad. Thank you that no matter what, you are in control. I now pray for your people, that you will provide for our needs. I pray for those who are struggling, those who are hurting, emotionally, spiritually. Will you be the one to provide? Will you be the one to take care? And above all, help all of us, including myself, to walk in such a way that our lives will bring glory and honor to your name. Help us to be salt and light. Help this fellowship to be more loving, to be effective in sharing the gospel, and to submit to your authority. And now we commit to you this Sunday. Speak to all of us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's have a quick review on our core values. Number one, love God, family, and others. This core value is not just for CCF. Core values are something that God wants you to practice. I suggest you adopt this in your own life, adopt this in your own family. As I've shared with you, in our family, we have core values. For example, in our family, it's unconditional love. It's unconditional forgiveness. In our family, we don't allow moodiness. We don't like people to be moody, to be pouting. In our family, one of our core values is service. We want to serve others. We want to think of others. It's not selfishness. So I don't know about you, but have core values in your family. In CCF, we also follow the Bible. And I pray you will want to adopt some of this. Number one, let's begin with number one, love. Will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I love you fervently. Now this time, say that with feeling. I really love you fervently. Number two, evangelism and discipleship. When you love somebody, you want to evangelize them. You want to share the good news. You see, my friend spoke in a Baptist conference. And God convicted him. God said, you think all of these people are Christians? So last week, he evangelized this conference. And he said, to his amazement, lots of people stood up to receive Jesus. You see, if you love people, you want to make sure they have Jesus in their hearts. Evangelism is making sure that you have Jesus in your heart. Not religion, but Jesus. The good news. Christ-likeness. What's number three? Authority of the scriptures and appointed leaders. You want to teach people because you love the Lord, we submit to His authority. You don't make up your own standards. If I were to ask you what is right, what is wrong? What is your standard of behavior? What do you believe in? Don't make up your own theology. Study the Bible. You submit to God's Word. Now, how many of you have read the entire Bible? Raise your hands. Slow motion, slow motion. May I suggest, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, study the Bible. If the Bible is not the Word of God, forget everything. Everything is a joke. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Why? Prophecies, Israel, Jesus, it's all here. Today we will discuss dependence on the Holy Spirit and prayer. What is dependence? The meaning of the word dependence is very simple. It means you rely on. You trust. So to depend on the Holy Spirit means what? You rely on the Spirit of God. The Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. So you need to learn. You need to have the mindset, I need the Spirit of God in every area of my life. Until you have this mindset that this is not an option. You need to be empowered by the Spirit of God, you will be having problems in your Christian life. According to Dr. Billy Graham, 92% of all believers in America, that was his statistics, I don't know how he got it, but he said most of them do not experience dependence on the Holy Spirit and on God. They don't experience the vibrant, abundant life. Let me show you from the Bible how important it is to depend on the Holy Spirit in prayer. Let's read this together. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The context of Zechariah is the rebuilding of the temple. God is telling his man, you cannot do this on your own. You need my spirit. You cannot live the Christian life or fulfill God's will for your life in your own strength. You need the Spirit of God. This text deals with a word picture of two olive trees providing oil to the lamp. It's a picture of God's Spirit providing, giving us power to be light, to live for Him. The New Testament puts it in another way, but same idea. Let's read this together. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Before Jesus left the disciples and went to heaven, He gave them this command. You are to proclaim my name. You are to announce the good news all over the world. But before you do it, you must do something. Read the next verse. Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. Everybody read. You shall what? Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Notice, to do the work of God is very important. But God says, before you start serving me, you stay in the city. Until what? Until you receive power. You see, God does not just ask you to do His will. He gives you the means. He gives you the power. When God tells me to live a holy life, He does not expect me to live a holy life in my own strength. I cannot do it. When God asks me to love you, to love one another, I cannot do that on my own. Remember, God tells us, love your what? Love your enemies. How can you do that? And God says, I will give you the strength. That's the meaning. So, they obeyed Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us, let's read. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. But step by step, number one, you better make sure you have the Spirit of God. You need power. Many Christians are frustrated. You are frustrated because you want to do your best to obey Jesus. And I know many of us, you desire power. The problem is you keep failing. And when you fail, you get discouraged. I have good news for you. When you fail, don't give up. Failure is a reminder that you cannot do this on your own. Failure is the stepping stone for success. Failure is God's way of telling you, you cannot depend on your own strength. You need to depend on the Lord. So every time you fail, you should be driven closer to God. You should say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. Help me. Understand? Satan will tell you, if you fail, you are hopeless. Satan will tell you, that's why God does not love you. Because you keep failing. No, no. God loves you. Either you are successful or not successful, you follow Him, you don't follow Him, He loves you. The only problem is, are you receiving His provision? That's the message today. Dependence on God's Spirit. Will you turn your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be dependent on God's Spirit. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are depending on God's Spirit? Raise your hand. You know, I can almost say, all of you will raise your hand. I live a dependent life. Yes or no? Well, let me put you to the test. I'm going to give you a test. I will ask you, I'll give you four tests. And then you tell me whether you are passing the test. You like tests? No. All right, but I will still test you. Because to be filled by the Spirit of God is not an option. Look at His command. Everybody read this. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The Bible knows there will be temptation. So the Bible says you walk by the Spirit. Means you surrender. You rely on the Spirit day by day. Moment by moment. And then what's the promise? If you live by the Spirit, you rely on God's Spirit. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I remind myself to depend on Him. I will teach you how to do that. In the meantime, four tests. Are you ready for tests? Test number one, the fear test. Test number two, the anger test. Test number three, the prayer test. Test number four, the Thanksgiving test. Now tell me if you pass. Let's go to test number one. What's test number one? The fear factor. Have you seen that movie? The television program, Fear Factor. Now let me ask you, what are you afraid of? Do you worry? You know, I realize we worry. We just worry about different things. People at my age, what do they worry about? Oh, be honest. At our age, what do you worry about? You join our conversation. You know what people talk about during our age? At our age, we talk about health food, cholesterol, high blood pressure, what to do, okay? We're concerned about our health. Now, younger people, what are you worried about? Future, am I correct? Will I get married? Will I not get married? What is my career, job? What about money? You worry about money? Yes or no? Why are you worried about money? You see? It depends. I want to look at the life of David. How he conquered fear, how he conquered worry. The Bible tells us, everybody, let's read this. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God whose word I praise, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? David has every reason to be fearful because King Saul was after his life. David was always running away from somebody. David has every reason to be afraid. But he tells us, when I am afraid, what will he do? Everybody, what's the antidote of fear? I will put my trust in thee. Now, let me ask you a question. What are you putting your trust in? And I discovered many people don't even know. Subconsciously, you think you are trusting God. But in reality, you are not trusting God. It is very subtle. Our trust can shift from God to something else. Did you read the news about the South Korean president? He committed suicide. Now, I submit to you, he never analyzed the object of his trust. Because for many people, the object of your faith is not God. It's power. It's money. Now remember, these billionaires who committed suicide in the last few months because of the financial crisis, when they lost money, you are a billionaire. When you lost money, you are still a millionaire. Now why do you want to commit suicide? Now let me ask you, what are you depending on to really make you happy? I want you to fill in the blank. I will really be very, very happy if... What? Oh, what's your answer? If. Oh, I know so good though. You talk to the singles. What is the answer? I will be happy if my boyfriend or if my girlfriend. Am I correct? But you don't realize this. And that's why you have to analyze your heart. What are you counting on? What is most important to you? So what's test number one? Fear. Worry. You see, fear and worry, they go together. They're twin brothers. Fear, worry, they go together. Did you pass the test so far? Now, what are you worried about right now? Huh? Are you worried about something? Yes or no? Right. Ask your neighbor. Now, look at their eyes, okay? Are you worried about something? Can I pray for you? Now, tell your neighbor so that you pray for them, okay? Are you worried about something? Okay, tell your neighbor and then pray. Okay? I want to pray for you. Are you worried about something? All right, tell me. Tell your neighbor. What are you worried about? Okay. You pray for that. Okay, you pray. You see, it's normal to worry. It's normal to be afraid. But you got to pray. See, Jesus tells us, everybody read this. If God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow it is thrown in the furnace, will He not much more do so for you? O men of little faith, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? You see, people worry. Because they don't know that God is their Heavenly Father, that God will take care of them. You cannot rely on somebody you don't know. You cannot trust somebody you don't know. And many of us, if you hear me telling you, trust the Lord, how can you trust the Lord if you don't know the Lord? That's why I submit to you. The biggest challenge of your life is get to know Jesus, get to know the Lord. It should be your ambition to know God and to make Him known. The more you know about the Lord, the more you will trust Him. And the moment you depend upon the Lord, fear will go away. So it's normal to be afraid. Because we all have problems. The only question is, who is bigger? Your problem or God? Let me ask you. You got problems?
Yes.
Louder.
Yes.
Okay, we are the same. I have problems. Second question. Who is bigger than our problems? Answer. Louder.
God.
I don't believe you. You keep telling me God is bigger than your problems. All right. I want to see you smile now. Say, you tell your neighbor, praise God. Praise God. He's bigger than my problem. Test number two. Anger test. Now, what is the anger test? How many of you have anger problem? Be honest. Anger problem. Oh, even ladies, you have anger problem? You know, some men don't realize why they keep losing their temper. If you got anger problem, the problem is not your temper. The problem is you do not know your God. You see, people get angry if their goal is blocked. For example, you want something, and I tell you no. You want something, your wife says no. You want something, and your children don't listen to you. Your goal is blocked. When your goal is blocked, you become angry. Yes or no? Because what you want is not going to happen. So you get angry. Now listen to me. Is God bigger than your goal? Yes or no? Loud there. So why be angry? Is it possible that God is allowing you to face disappointments? Because in the midst of those disappointments, God has a better plan. Yes or no? I want you to see the faith of David. David had every reason to be angry. Let me explain to you. David, let's look at this verse, okay? David and this man went on the way, Shimei. Say that word with me. Shimei. Don't ever call your son Shimei, okay? Shomai even better, but not Shimei. Shimei is a guy that was very disrespectful. He was walking parallel David, and he cursed David, and he cast stones and threw dust at David. If you read the previous verses, Shimei was maligning David. Shimei was accusing David of killing King Saul. Shimei was accusing David of murder. Shimei was maligning the very character of David. Now, when people say bad things about you, when people curse you and do bad things, say bad things about you to destroy your reputation, how would you feel? Be honest. You get angry? You know why you get angry? Because you want to control. You want to control your reputation. You want to control what people say about you. And a lot of people are always angry because they like to control. Can I tell you something? You cannot control what people will say about you, what they will think about you. You make sure, you personally, manage your character. Control your character. Follow the Lord. And leave the reputation to the Lord. People will misunderstand you. Yes or no? You will make mistakes. Yes or no? People will say bad things about you. Yes or no? So what do? Surrender them to the Lord. Don't take vengeance. Well, you know what happened? David said to Abishai and to all of his servants, "Behold my son who came from me seeks my life. How much more this Benjamite? Let him alone. Let him curse me. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of this cursing." You see, David was God-centered. When people were cursing him, when people were bad-mouthing him, David is saying, "My own son, seek my life." Now, do you have problems with your family? David has every reason to be angry at his son. His son not only rebelled against him, his son wanted to kill him. Now, I don't know about you. For a son wanting to kill the father, that's horrible. See, David could have been an angry man, a bitter man. But you know what? David understood the principle. I will depend on the Lord. If God wants him to curse me, I leave it to the Lord. I rest my case on the Lord. Now, can you do that? You see, most of us are always angry. You are always agitated. The slightest chismis, you get angry. Oh, ano ba yan? Ano ba yan? Chismis naman ako. Listen to me. Chismis means what? Chismis. Chismis in English means gossip. You cannot stop gossip. The more you try to stop it, the more you waste your energy, the more you waste your time. But many people don't learn this. So they are angry at people. They're always angry at people. You know why? Because you want to control. My advice to you is stop trying to control others. Surrender them to the Lord. Amen? So far, how are you doing? Did you pass the anger test? Or flunk? Oh, flunk. No problem. You improve. Next test. The prayer test. How's your prayer life? Do you know why we've done what? I tell my D12 members, I tell the leaders under me, I expect to see you on Tuesday morning, 6 to 7. If you cannot come, it's okay, you pray at home. But the reason we like everybody to be up in the morning to pray here, 6 to 7, so it becomes a habit. When you don't feel like praying, the more you need to pray. Understand? Now, prayer is the test of your dependence upon God. If you do not pray, it tells me something. It tells me you are self-reliant. It tells me you don't depend on the Lord. People who have cancer will suddenly attend Don Mats. Why? Because when there is a need, you know you need to pray. Yes or no? But you see, prayer should not just be a byproduct of knowing your need. It should be a byproduct of your love relationship with Jesus. Because you love the Lord, you want to spend time with Him. You are dependent on Him. Because He is your love. He is your joy. So let me ask you, how is your prayer life? Needs improvement? I'm looking at all of you. Now turn to your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, how's your prayer life? Ask them. Now you answer honestly. How's your prayer life? My prayer life was revolutionized when our sister, praise God, for Miss Chanka, she gave me this kneeling pad. So when I get up in the morning, I kneel down and I pray. It's a different style of praying. I used to pray walking, nothing wrong. I used to pray sitting down, nothing wrong. But I realized when I kneel down and pray, it's different. So I pray. In the morning, every morning when I get up, good morning, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think of God, I praise Him, may your name be glorified. I follow the outline, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So when I pray, I listen, Lord, what is your will this morning? Thy kingdom come, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then I pray for my needs, give us this day our daily bread. So I began praying for my own needs. I began praying for my calf. Why you pray for my calf? It's getting better. I was well already, my calf, until I came back to the Philippines. After 2 days, I started coughing again. So my wife said, are you allergic to the air? Of course not. But I think I got sick, okay? So I'm getting well. Pray for me. And then the Bible tells us, when you pray, you kneel down, you depend on the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you, you must only kneel down to pray, okay? But I suggest, make prayer your life, okay? If you don't pray, it tells God something. What are you telling God? God, I don't really need you. You need the Lord, yes or no? I need the Lord. So, I want to pray all the time. And then Thanksgiving test. Did you pass the Thanksgiving test? Now, what's the Thanksgiving test? Let's read that together. Everybody, be anxious for something. Is that what it says? Be anxious for. Now, what is nothing in Tagalog? Be anxious for ano? Wala. What's wala in English? Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Absolutely nothing. Are you anxious about something? Well, I have a solution. You pray. Whatever you're anxious about, you pray to the Lord. You turn it to the Lord, okay? It's okay. Lord, I'm worried about these things. You pray. And then, what's the next verse? Let's read that together. In everything. What does that mean, in everything? What's everything in Tagalog? Lahat. What's that in English? Everything. Not something. Not in something. Not in many things. Everybody, in everything. Big and small. I remember this old Christian. No, not old Christian. Old man who came to know the Lord lately in his life. He said, I don't pray about everything. It's so embarrassing to bother God. I only pray for the big things. I said, you have wrong theology. God tells us, come to Him for everything. You see, unlike people, we don't like to be bothered. Am I correct? You know, sometimes my wife will ask me the most mundane question. Okay? Really. And sometimes I'm impatient. And I will make fun of her question. It's like asking me, okay, you want to eat? Okay, hello? What do you like to eat? In other words, God is different. God says, you bother me. Okay? God is saying, you tell me. Small things, big things, it's okay with me. Do you believe God is interested in your life? Yes or no? Louder.
Yes.
All right, talk to Him. Big things, small things, you tell Him. In everything, what must you do? In everything. What? By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So, when you pray, you must end with thanksgiving. You see, the problem with Christians, we only say, wow, praise God. God is good when good things happen. Now when bad things happen, can you thank Him? In everything, give thanks. You know, I recently heard of what happened in China. The one of the biggest printing press, if not the biggest printing press in China, is Amity Printing. They used to print the writings of Mao Zedong. It used to be owned by the People's Liberation Army. That is the same printing press that started printing the Bibles. Today, that printing press prints more Bible than any other printing press in the world. Understand? Now, that printing press, the head of the printing press was telling a story. He said he asked the government to give them the property that is near the river for nice view, for nice environment. But the government refused to give them that piece of property. The government asked him, move back. Build your factory inward, not near the river. Inward. And he began to make tampo. You know what's tampo? He began to sob. He said, Lord, how can you be the God of the universe? How can you be the King of Kings? I have a simple request to have a piece of property near the river. You cannot even give that to us. Well, I have good news for you. There was a flood recently. And he said he understood. Because the flood overflowed the river. He said if the factory was beside the river, he would have lost all the papers, he would have lost the equipment, he would have lost the factory. Thank God he does not always listen to us. Understand? In everything, what must you do? Give thanks. So, I tell singles, if your boyfriend will leave you, if your girlfriend will leave you, what do? Look at me. Hallelujah, you must say. Hallelujah. Why? When God takes away something, He has somebody what? Better. Say that with me. Better. Betterer. You got to do your part. How are you filled with the Spirit? How do you depend on the Lord? Everybody, raise your right hand. Right hand, right hand. Right hand, raise it up slowly, but don't hit your neighbor. Hey, no, not like this, like this. Okay, this represents what? Do your part, say that with me. Do your part. Put it down. Left hand. If you don't know left or right hand, the opposite hand. Everybody read. Let God do His part. You need two hands. Am I correct? Now, stand up. Stand up. For the airplane to fly, you need two wings. Okay? So, one wing. Say that with me. Pray as though everything dependent on God. Pray as though everything dependent on God. Left hand. Work as though everything dependent on you. To fly, what do you need? Two. Now, fly with me now. Fly. Okay. No, no, you cannot fly like this. Fly. You got to balance the two, understand? On one hand, pray. Don't bring your hand down. Pray. I want you to get tired. Pray. As though everything is dependent on God, okay? Pray. What's the other hand? Work. Thank you. Sit down. Your problem, my problem is this. We are confused. We go through extreme. For some people, they just work. They don't depend upon God. They work and work and work. The problem with that is this. You get burned out. You compromise your health. You compromise your family. You don't go home when it's time to go home because you don't depend on God. You just keep working. The other extreme is you just keep praying and praying and praying. I'm reminded of the story of a rich father. His daughter wanted to get married. So the daughter brought the boyfriend home. Now, just like any father, he interviewed the boyfriend. What's your occupation? What's your job? The boy said, I am a Torah expert, a Torah scholar. You know what's a Torah scholar? Torah. That's the Old Testament. The first five books of the Bible. I am a Bible scholar. Okay? The father said, good. And how do you plan to provide for my daughter? How do you plan to buy a house? The boyfriend said, I will study hard and God will provide. The father said, how will you provide the ring for the wedding? I will study very hard and God will provide. The father said, you will have children someday. What happens to your children? Who will provide for your children? You know, the boy gave the same answer. I will study hard. The Lord will provide. So after the interview, the wife came to see the husband. Oh, what do you think? The husband said, I have good news and bad news. The mother said, what is the good news and the bad news? Well, the good news, he is a scholar. The bad news, he has no job and he thinks I am God. Balance. You got to do your part. Let God do His part. You know, I've seen a lot of people. Because you don't know God, you confuse His part with your part. You must do your best. Do you like my simple quotation? This is my simple quotation. Everybody, this is the PTC version. Everybody read this. Do everything you can to the best of your ability and leave the results to God. Pray expectantly as though everything is dependent on God. So that's what you do. When you have problems, you do your best. Leave the results to God. You pray. Now, people ask me, which one comes first? Pray or do I do my part? Example, okay? Example only. Singles. Oh, gentlemen, are you listening to me? You want to get married? Gentlemen, yes or no? Gentlemen, you want to get married or no? All right, I will tell you what's your part, okay? You got to do your part. Your part is to pray. Pray. Lord, provide. But after praying, you let God do His part, but you still got to do your part. What's your part? Number one, when you walk in CCF, walk this way, okay? Good posture. Don't walk like this. You know why? If you walk like this, nobody wants to marry a Lolo, okay? No. Number two, your part. Brush your teeth. Gargle with Listerine. Or something else. Make sure you don't have bad breath. And then you comb. If you don't have to comb your hair, whatever you do, but please, Please, do your best to make yourself presentable. Do not make yourself have something that only your mother can appreciate, okay? And then wear something nice, okay? Wear something nice. And then above all, use deodorant. Understand? Use deodorant. And then lastly, when you see somebody nice, you must say, good morning, good afternoon, welcome to CCF. That's your part. Now, what is God's part? Leave God to touch the hearts of the ladies. Don't force the lady. You want to know my cell phone number? How do you depend on the Holy Spirit? Number one, pray as though everything is dependent on God. What's number two? Do. Work. Do your part. Understand? So balance the two. Now, people ask me, which one comes first? The sequencing is not that important. Because sometimes, in my experience, it's always better to pray first. You know why? But let me give you an example. Your house is on fire. Will you now say, let's have a prayer meeting first? You do your part. Understand? So which one comes first? Depends on the situation. I want you to look at the life of Samuel and David. David understood this. Let's read this. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. I will show you from the life of David, what does it mean? Do your part and let God do His part. Do you know the antecedent of this story? His father was asked by Samuel, present to me all your sons. One of them will become king. You know what the father did? He presented the first one, Eliab. Samuel said, that's not the one. He presented the second one. The name was Abinadab. That's not the one. He presented the third one, Shammah. That's not the one. Finally, he presented seven sons. And the prophet said, Lord, which one? And God says, none of the above. So, the father was surprised. I present to you all my sons. And you told me one of my sons will become king. So Samuel said, yes. Do you have another son? Then the father said in Tagalog, ay, naku. In English, I forgot. There is one more boy. His name is David. David. But he's in the farm. He's shepherding. He's in the field. Samuel said, call him. When David showed up, wow. God told Samuel, this is it. So that's the story. Samuel, everybody read, took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of all of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. What's the point? David experienced God's part and man's part. You see, people forgot him. Worst of all, your own family can forget you. Imagine his own father forgot him. His own brothers forgot him. I realize your family can forget you, your boss can forget you, but God will never forget you. So you got to realize who God is. Now, David had the next problem. After being chosen to be king, how do you get trained to be king? How do you go to Malacañang Palace to be trained to be the next president? You want to see God's part and man's part? Would you like to see? I'll show you. One day, King Saul developed nervous breakdown. In Tagalog, pinasukan ng toyo si King Saul. He became fearful. He had this syndrome. It's called psychological problem. So somebody told him, boss, I know how to cure you. You need music therapy. Music therapy. Yes. So this is the story. Let's look at the Bible. One of the young men answered King Saul, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, prudent in speech, a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. Saul sent messengers to Jesse, send me your son David, who is with the flock. Now listen to me. How did David learn musical ability? He was not watching TV. He was not playing in the internet. You got to do your part. Develop God-given skills. Whatever God has given you, develop. Don't waste your time. David was developing his ability to fight. David was busy. Notice, the Bible tells us, David is with the flock. In the whole Bible, you will never see God calling somebody who is idle, doing nothing. When God called Moses, Moses was a shepherd, busy. When God called David, he was busy. When God called the apostles, the disciples, they were busy fishing. In other words, you cannot be idle and just have coffee and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I ask people, how do you know God's will for your life? Be busy whatever you are doing, understand? Just be busy. And then keep praying. Lord, if you want to guide me, I will do my part now. But don't be idle. Don't just sit in the house and watch TV and expect God to call you in the cell phone. Hello. Do your part. David was busy. And you know, he was busy developing his skills and praise God. David came to Saul, attended him. Saul loved him greatly. He became his what? Armor bearer. In other words, God made sure that David will be exposed to life in Malacanang. He was not yet a king, but he had to be trained. You see, you got to do your part. Be industrious. Be diligent. Now, how can David become the king? How will people know David? Well, God has to do something. David had to be in the right place at the right time. Well, here it is. David was the youngest. Now, the three oldest followed Saul. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock. Do you understand the principle here? David was anointed king. He was the youngest. What was his job? Look, what was the job of David? David went what? Back and forth. Messenger boy. You know, if you were David, if I were David, you know what I would tell my brothers? Excuse me, I am the future king. The work is beneath me. You know, I need to practice now my speech. Don't treat me like a messenger. Yes or no? Not David. David was humble. Any work is okay. Nothing is below his dignity. And that is my experience. You know what makes a good pastor in CCF? I praise God for our pastors. They will do anything that's needed. I hope still now. Okay? You just tell them, okay? Nothing's below our dignity. Amen? Now, what about you? You know, some people, they like to serve God. But you know, you like to serve God based on what? Advisory capacity only. Lord, I think we must do this, we must do that. God tells you, do something about it. Ah, no, Lord, no, no. That's too simple for me. My friend, be like David. Be busy. Now, his father asked David, David, go see your brothers. Give them something to eat. When David went to see his brothers, right in the battlefield, right where he should be, he heard about Goliath. You see, David was in the right place at the right time. What was Goliath doing? Shouting. So David said, oh, why are you guys not doing anything? You see, God gave David the opportunity to shine. Opportunities come from who? Come from the Lord. God will give you the opportunities. What must you do? Take the opportunity. When the opportunity is opening up, you must be there to say, Lord, here I am. I'm willing. You see, David saw the opportunity and he did not do it for his own sake. He wanted to serve God, and this is what he said. David told the king, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, fight him. Now let me ask you, when was David prepared to fight Goliath? During that day or before that day? When was he prepared? Listen to me. When opportunity comes, it is too late for you to be prepared. You must prepare before the opportunity comes. And that's why don't waste your time. I tell young people, don't waste your time. Develop whatever talents God has given you. Because at the right time, at the right place, God will give you that occasion and you will be able to perform. You see, the Bible tells us David was faithful. He was able to kill a lion. He was able to kill a bear. He was prepared. In order to fight your Goliath, you must have a small victory first. You will all face Goliaths in your life someday. But you will not be ready to face the Goliaths of your life until you are ready to face the lion, the bear, the small things of life. David was prepared. Now let me ask you, are you facing Goliath right now? Be prepared. God will help you. Now the rest is history. David went to fight Goliath. How did he fight Goliath? Answer, he went and fight. In other words, he did not stay and say, let me pray some more. All right, go and fight. Let me pray some more. No, no. When King Saul told him, go and fight, King Saul gave him his equipment. David put on the equipment. David put on the armor. David put on the sword. David said, it's not good. I have never used this. I have never tested this. I just need 5 stones, 1 sling. David was trained by God. The methods are God's method, not man's method. CCF is a miracle. If you look at the way we're coming up with the project, it's a miracle of God. You know why? Because God is in charge of CCF. Amen? The worst economic crisis, God is providing us the money. Do you know we are now in our last phase of fundraising? The first phase for the land. Praise God, we paid for it. Amen. Second phase for the building. We have the money for the building, for the shell. Now the last phase. We need to raise more money to finish the last phase for the chairs, for the electricity, for the light, for the aircon. Understand? If you don't raise money, it's okay. We will all bring our chair and we will worship. Understand? But I believe between now and then, will God provide for the extra? What extras do you like? Aircon. You like aircon? Do you like nice chairs? You like, what else do you like? Sound system. You like sound system? Okay, you pray. It's a miracle. Amen? Because God is in charge. Do you realize when we got a place right beside us here, another church told us to vacate, to leave the place because they don't want us to be near here. But because God is in charge, we did not fight. We humbled ourselves and we looked for another place. Can you imagine? The place we got is cheaper by half and the size is twice bigger. Is God good? I tell you, God is amazing. Because of the victory, Saul became jealous. You know, sometimes you don't understand why you have problems. After a tremendous victory, when Goliath died, everybody realized who is David. That very success became his problem. You know why? Because God knew it is not the right time for David to become the king. Because David was a teenager, too young to become king. David, you need more training. And you know what happened? King Saul became jealous. Instead of mentoring David, King Saul decided to murder David. Let's look at this verse. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him in order to put him to death in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be put to death. Michal let David down through a window. He went out and fled and escaped. You see, David did his part. What was his part? He prayed. After praying, what must you do? Run. Look at me. Run. It's okay to run, okay? He was not crazy. He did not say after praying, okay, I will face Saul. No, no, no. He ran. But you know what? When he ran away, he thought of his family. Look what the Bible says. David went from there to Mizpah, to Moab. He said to the king of Moab, please let my father and my mother stay with you until I know what God will do for me. You see, David knew. He did his part, but he kept praying and praying. Look, example. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and fight the Philistines? David inquired of the Lord once again. The Lord answered him, arise, go down to Keilah. I will give the Philistines into your hand. You know why David prayed twice? Because his men told him, why are we going to fight the Philistines? We already have a problem with King Saul. Why do we have to fight? So David asked God again, Lord, what's your will? God said, fight. So David fought the Philistines. He saved the people of Keilah. So the people were so happy. But then the bad news came. Here's the bad news. David said, oh Lord God of Israel, thy servant has heard that Saul is coming to Keilah to destroy the city because of me. Will the men of Keilah surrender me to his hand? Will Saul come down Really? You know, God responded. God told David, he will come down. And David said, will the men of Keilah protect me? God told David, they will not protect you. They will betray you. What did David do? Look at me. Run. Okay, run. You see, you do your part. After praying, what's your part? You do what is within your control. What is not within your control, you leave it to God. It was beyond David to force the people of Keilah to defend him. So he ran. Now, to make a long story short, what happened to David? He kept running and running and running. One day, King Saul, his enemy, who used to be his mentor, had to go to the bathroom. It's the biggest bathroom in the world. It's a cave. So King Saul went to the cave. Now, I do not know what he did in the cave, but the Bible says he went to the bathroom. Okay? He did not see David and his men. They were hiding inside the cave. You know why you cannot see people inside the cave? When you are from outside, it was bright, it was light. When you go inside the cave, it becomes dark, but your eyes has to adjust. So he did not see the inside. See? You know, to be a king, you have to be dignified. For us men, the toilet is all over the place. Am I correct? But not King Saul. He went to a particular place. The men told David, here is your enemy, right in front of you. Now, if you are David, what will you do? If you are David and your enemy is right in front of you, going to the bathroom, what will you do? I'll tell you what you will do. This is what I will do. I will sing in my heart, this is the day. This is the day. In Tagalog, araw ko na ito. Yari ka na. But David did not do that. David told this man, don't touch him. You know what? David cut a piece of Saul's fabric. And because of that, he even felt bad. You see, when you depend on the Lord, your conscience is very sensitive. David said, that was wrong. So he shouted, when Saul left the cave, he shouted to Saul, Saul, here is the fabric. I could have killed you, but I did not kill you. You know, Saul felt so embarrassed. Saul said, okay, you are a good man. I will not kill you anymore. Remember, Saul had soy sauce in his head. After promising David, I will not kill you, months later, a few years later, he went back to look for David again. And when he went for David again, the same principle. David had to run. He ran. And finally, Saul was so tired, they saw Saul sleeping. And David's men told him, boss, this is your day. They are all sleeping. Let's go kill him. You know what David said? This is what David said. Look at verse 9. Let's read the whole verse. Abishai said to David, today, everybody read, today, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Please, let me strike him with a spear to the ground with one stroke. I will not strike him the second time. Meaning, let me kill him painlessly. He won't even know it. You know what David said? Do not destroy him. Who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt? David also said, as the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish. You see, your theology of who God is will tell me how you will act in a certain situation. For David, God is bigger than King Saul. For David, I don't have to kill my enemy because he is God's anointed. I will let God deal with him. If God wants me to be king, he will get rid of Saul. If God doesn't want me to be king, it's okay with me. You see, that's a dependent life. Now, you know what happened to Saul? David let Saul go. He did not kill his family. In short, what can we learn about David? Do as if everything is dependent on you. What's the next part? Pray as if everything is dependent on the Lord. Now, let me ask you, is that what you are doing? Are you praying all the time? Let's close with this verse. A miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. So you look at your Bible. I suggest when you look at your Bible, you look at the notes. This is the background of this verse. When David was running away from Saul, he wrote this psalm. Now look at his prayer. Everybody read. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me. My soul takes refuge in thee. In the shadow of thy wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. The context of that verse, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me, is from this account. You see, David believed, if God wants me king, He will make me king. He ran away from Saul. He did not kill Saul. Now remember, when you pray, you must end with what? Thanksgiving. How did this psalm end? Psalm 57. It ended with thanksgiving. Look at his prayer. I will give thanks to thee, O God, among the peoples. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. Saul was still alive, but David was already singing. David was thanking God. And David said, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David is dependent on God. He knows the meaning of thanksgiving. Now let me ask you, are you passing the test so far? David prayed. He was anxious. He was afraid of Saul. He prayed that God will take care of his fear. He could have been angry at Saul. He prayed. You know, I have learned something. You pray for your enemy, and you will learn to love him. You learn to love your enemy. I don't know of anybody. You keep praying for your enemy, you will learn to love that person. Yes or no? And number three, David was a man of prayer. He always prayed with thanksgiving. I want to show you a very short video of a man by the name of David also. Have you heard of David Ring? David Ring was born 18 minutes dead. When he was born, the doctor pronounced him dead. After 18 minutes, he lived again. He had cerebral palsy. It affected his mind. Now, cerebral palsy, it's hard for you to move normally. It's hard for you to talk normally. You got a problem. His father was a pastor. At the age of 11, his father developed cancer. His father died. The only one that took care of him was his mother. But when he was age 14, the mother died also. The mother had cancer also. David went from house to house. He wanted to commit suicide because nobody loved him. He went to school. They made fun of him. He was angry. He could not understand how God can love him. One day he gave his life to Jesus, and his life was forever transformed. I want you to see the meaning of a man dependent on God's Spirit. You may not believe this. David is a pastor now. How did that happen? Are you ready? Let's show this video.
What is heaven going to be like? I don't know about you, but when I think of heaven, I'm excited. Because I got property up there. My D-A-D-D-Y with Jesus. Been with Jesus for 32 years. My mom been with the Lord for 28 years. And man, one day, we are all going to be together one more time. Don't feel sorry for me. But got joy coming in the morning. And not only that, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have my brand new body. I'm not going to walk with a limp. I'm not going to talk funny in the morning. I'm going to walk and talk like Jesus. If you don't like the way I am, hang in there. I'm still in the oven. God's still in the kitchen. And God's still cooking on me. And when God get finished cooking on me, God's going to pull me out of the oven. And God's going to say, well done, good and faithful. So. There is coming a day will not hard age shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tilts to dim the eye. All in peace forevermore. On the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. That will be.
We're going to sing this song in a short while. In the meantime, some of you have to learn to surrender your past. Surrender your disappointments. You need to learn to depend on the Lord. You know, David made mistakes big time. But David never tried to solve his problem his way. He made wrong decisions. He made wrong choices. But David depended on the Lord for forgiveness. David depended on the Lord for a new beginning. And some of you are in that predicament right now. You find it hard to forgive yourself. You find it hard to believe that God can do something with your past. David Ring, believe in the Lord. Do you think God can do something with your life? You can either become better or bitter. Have you depended on the Lord for your forgiveness, for your salvation, for your future? You see, you have not understood Christianity until you have surrendered everything. The Christian life is never in between. It's not half-half. Either you surrender everything or you have not surrendered at all. And some of you are playing games. I suggest today you surrender all. Why don't we all stand up and pray? I want to pray for you. And I want you to accept Jesus. Surrender everything to Him if you have not done so. Perhaps you are angry. Or you have never understood the meaning of trusting Jesus. Please pray with me. Something like this. Lord Jesus, I have never surrendered my life completely to You. I am afraid to trust You. But today I realize it's never too late. I realize, Lord, You are the God of impossible situations. I surrender to You my life. I surrender to You my salvation. Lord, I want to trust You and I trust You. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Change my heart. Make me a new person. I surrender to You. I commit to You my mistakes, my wrong choices, my wrong decisions, my failures. And I thank You that there is always hope in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.